My first wife, Maureen, was diagnosed with MS. That was a shock. I think we were expecting it because of symptoms before. But a friend of ours, the Reverend Peter Trumper, sent us a card. Peter Trumper understood what we were feeling because he himself had suffered from an MS for many years. He's now with the Lord. What was the text? It was this, Ecclesiastes 7, verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find anything that will be after him. It's a text that greatly encouraged us, and we had the card on the mantelpiece, and we would often look at it, think about it, and about that time I did preach on it. So what is the message of the text? Well, it's very simple. It falls into two parts. That we are to praise God on good days and pause to think on bad days. So praise God in good days, pause to think on the bad days. Praise God on the good days. In the days of prosperity, be joyful. There are many good days. Sometimes we go through times in our lives where there seems to be so much trouble, we can be maybe overwhelmed by it, but there are many good days, and we ought to thank God for them. We ought to praise God on the joyful days. When I was a pastor in East London, we took the Sunday school children to a zoo. And most of the children enjoyed it, except the boy who fell in a pond. We managed to get him out. What his parents thought afterwards, I don't know. But there was one boy who kept grumbling. Well, it'd be all right if it wasn't for the animals. Good grief. Whatever did he expect in a zoo? We'd gone out of our way to organise a treat, and here he was grumbling. And some people are like that. They're never happy unless they are grumbling about something. But we shouldn't be like that as Christians, should we? We should be praising God. He has given us so much. Materially, our families, our friends, homes and food and so on. And most of all, he's given us his grace. Comes to us through his Son, the greatest gift he could ever give us. And so Solomon says, praise God on good days. In the days of prosperity, praise him. But on good days, days of prosperity, there is the danger that we become too careless. We become presumptuous. We think that, we can take things a little easy. And maybe in our prosperity, we may drift from God just a little at a time. We don't really notice it. We're not so regular, maybe, with our prayer times and Bible reading. Maybe we're a little slack in our attendance at worship. Or when we come, we're not as attentive as we ought to be when the Word of God is preached. We're a little restless. Everything's going fine for us. But it's when we're in prosperity we need to be on our guard. And that's why sometimes God allows adversity to wake us up. It's a trumpet call. Wake up! You're settling down too much. You're coming a little careless spiritually. I need to wake you up. Therefore, he will allow from time to time adversity. So in days of prosperity, be joyful. So what should we do then? When God allows adversity to come into our lives, he tells us, in the day of adversity, consider. So on good days, praise God. On bad days, stop and consider. What does God want to teach me about himself in this adversity? What does God want to teach me about myself in this adversity? So what are we to consider? Consider that God is in control. That's what our text says. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider God has made the one as well as the other. It's God who sends good days. It's God who sends bad days. It's as if God has got a book. In eternity, he has a book. And he writes your name there. Yes, at such and such a time, that person would be born. Such and such a time, they would die. And all the bits in between, years between, God has written everything there. God plans everything wisely, lovingly, for our good. He plans everything in our lives. It's God who is in control. God has made, he says, the one as well as the other. God has made the days of prosperity. God has made the days of adversity. We need both. Just as we need the sun and the rain to make the crops grow, so we need the sun of God's prosperity, and we need the rain and storms of adversity to make the fruit of the Holy Spirit to grow in our lives. So God is in control. Things surprise us. Maybe a telephone call and it's bad news. And initially we're shattered. It takes us a while to get our balance. But it didn't take God by surprise, did it? Our surprises are not surprises to God, who has planned everything, who planned that you would get that call, that you would get that bad news. And the God who planned it will give you the grace to cope with the adversity, with the trouble, with the bad news. So whatever the day, a good day, a bad day, it is our duty and it ought to be our delight to do the things that God tells us in his word. So the first thing to consider is that God is in control. He made the good days, he made the bad days. And thank God that he did. The second thing to consider is that the adversity will end. Look how he puts it. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider. He uses the word day because he wants us to think each day. God made each day. And the word day tells us that the adversity will end. It's but a day compared to the endless ages of eternity. It's but a day. But what if the day of adversity goes on and on and on? Someone with a relentless illness, like a toothache that nags and won't go away. But it's still but a day compared to eternity. It's but a day compared with the glory and the reward that God has in store for us. It's but a day that will come to an end. Consider, adversity is not forever. It is coming to an end. Maybe somebody goes on and on and on in some adversity, some difficult situation. It doesn't seem to end at all. You say, what? It's going to end? But well, sometimes the adversity doesn't end this side of the grave, this side of heaven. But one day the Lord will take us into his presence. And we will be absent from the body and present with the Lord. And then there's even more. You think, what could be more than to be in the presence of God? But there's more. Because the Lord is coming. There'll be the sound of the trumpet and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise. And we'll have a new, wonderful resurrection body. It cannot feel pain. It cannot die. It cannot decay. And we will have in that body a sinless soul. We won't be tempted. We won't sin. And we'll be on a new earth, says the Bible. A completely new earth. A world in which dwells righteousness, says Peter, quoting from the book of Isaiah. So it's an adversity. It's a day. It's a day that will end. If not in this life, then certainly it will end when we pass from this life. And oh, what a day that will be when we see the Lord coming and we are caught up with him if we're alive, or raised from our graves if we've gone into our graves, our bodies, and we've gone into God's presence before the coming of our Saviour. So it's a day that will end. We should often think of Revelation 21. God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Isn't that wonderful? He will wipe away tears. The idea there is that we will have no reason to want to cry. When a little child falls over in the garden or grazes their knee or something like that, they're crying and you pick them up, give them a kiss, kiss it better, and you wipe away the tears. But an hour or two later, they're crying again. Oh no, what's this about now? And that's children, isn't it? That's what we're like. But in heaven, there won't be any tears, because there will be no reason to cry. There won't be any bereavements, there won't be any funerals, there won't be any hospital appointments where you're anxious about what is the specialist going to say. Oh, no, no. What a world that will be. Adversity will end, and we will be forever in the presence of God. But let's also consider God's in control, yes. Consider that day means the adversity would end. But also consider this in adversity, that there are dangers in days of adversity. If the danger in prosperity is to be careless and presumptuous, what are the dangers then in adversity? Well, suffering sometimes leads to bitterness against God. In Potton, we had a lady who's daughter was born blind, and initially she was bitter against God. Why has God allowed this? And for some long time she held a grudge against God. But then God began to use her daughter, with Christian charity through the roof. She had a beautiful singing voice, and she was able to share the gospel with people, and gradually her mother came to accept that this was in the will of God, and God had a purpose. So her daughter was born without any eyes. You can sometimes be bitter against God. Why has God allowed this? I've tried to be a good Christian. I've tried to do all the best I can, and yet God's allowed this. But just a minute, why shouldn't God allow it? And if God has allowed it, then it's for a purpose, and he has a plan. And he will give you the grace sufficient, as he did with Paul, to cope with that situation. There's a danger that we begin to doubt God's love. How could God love me and allow this to happen? Is he really a God of love? But of course he is. And at such times you need to fill your mind with passages such as Romans 8. That there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. You remember the list there in Romans. He talks about persecution, famine, all kinds of things. Whatever you can think of, the worst thing you can ever think of cannot separate you from God or stop God loving you. Nothing whatever. And sometimes in adversity, God has revealed his love to us, overwhelmed us with his love in a special way. That's what I proved. In those times of adversity, I felt the nearness of God and his love as I remembered this great text, as I filled my soul with Romans chapter 8. We can't have enough of Romans 8. It's a wonderful, wonderful chapter. If I was your doctor and you came to me, I'm in such trouble, I feel very sad, I'd say, look, here's the prescription. Romans chapter 8. Read that every day. Rest your soul on that. God's love for you. There's a danger in our adversity. Begin to sink into despair, discouragement, depression. Keep focused on God's love, his grace. Keep focused on God who has given you his son to die for you on that cross. Adversity, God's in control. Yes, adversity is a day, it will end. But be warned, there are dangers in adversity. But there's another thing we should consider in days of adversity, and it's that only God knows the future. That's in our text, isn't it? Look, in the day of prosperity be joyful, in the day of adversity consider, God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. We cannot know what our own future is, and thank God we can't, because we'd be worrying about what's going to happen if we did know. No, only God knows that, and he's wise. And when we're gone, we don't know what will happen after us. Life will go on in this world after we're taken. And sometimes there's a danger that we think we're indispensable. Who will do what I'm doing if I'm not here? But God buries his workmen and raises up new ones. That's not original. Someone said it. I can't remember who. But it's true, isn't it? My time will come when my day is finished. When all the work I've done is finished. I might have, probably will have. In my diary there'll probably be some preaching engagements. Things I've got to do. But God says, that's it. Close the diary. It's time to come to me. And I have planned your future, says God, until that time when I call you to myself. And I have planned what I will do, and my work will go on once I've taken you out of this scene. That's encouraging, I think. It's encouraging that God, who is wise, God, who is my heavenly Father, God who cares for me more than I can really understand, that God has planned, wisely planned my future. Sometimes I worry, don't we all? But sometimes I worry, well, I'm moving towards old age. I don't think I'm there yet. But when I do get there, what if my... Well, I've enough problems with my body as it is already. But what's going to get worse, is it? Maybe. And maybe I'll get a bit forgetful sometimes. Names. Oh, dear, names. What if my memory starts going? I worry about that sometimes. But then God says, just a minute. Stop worrying about tomorrow and live for today. Live for today to glorify me today. Use your energy today and leave the future with me, please, says God. Sorry, God. Okay. You've planned the joyful days. You've planned the adversity days. You have planned the way I'm going to leave this world. You planned everything. Help me to trust you and love you more. So Warren Wiersbe, I like reading Warren Wiersbe. He says, God balances our lives by giving us enough blessings to keep us happy and enough burdens to keep us humble. Well said, Mr. Wiersbe. So is it possible, really? Let's be realistic. Okay, you've got your text, you've got all your doctrine. Yes, but is it really possible to praise God in those days of adversity? Is it really possible? Okay. I read on Facebook. Yes, I waste my time on Facebook. I read on Facebook recently some words by Johnny and Erickson Tada, if I pronounce that right. And she said, I'm celebrating 56 years since my accident that left me paralysed. Usman said, you can't call it a celebration. But she said, yes, Ken, think of all the opportunities it has given me to speak of Jesus Christ and all the people whose lives have been changed and influenced and encouraged by my speaking out of this experience. And this is what she said, July the 30th. With each year that passes, things get harder. My quadriplegic body, probably pronounced it wrong, is getting weaker. But I've fought so many tough battles in the 56 years I've been paralysed. I'm not about to cave in now. Over the decades, Jesus has granted me too many victories. And then she goes on. And so today, on July the 30th, I'm looking at this anniversary as a fresh commitment. When discouragement looms, I'm committed to still have Scripture shape my outlook. I'm committed to not slacking off, but staying in the good fight. To trust God through 56 years hardship, that's an anniversary worth celebrating. And Ken agrees with me on this. So whatever hardship is troubling you today, stay in the fight against the dark outlook on your hardships. Because the Christian fight is always a good one. That's a woman we must admire. Thank God for. I'm sure she would agree with all I've said on Ecclesiastes chapter 14, 7, verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider. God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. So what should you do? What should I do? Praise God on good days. Pause to think on bad days.